I am weak, but thou art strong. Oh, Jesus, keep me from all wrong. Oh, I'll be satisfied. I'll be satisfied. Plea this morning. Whoa. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be, Lord. Let it be. Through this world of toil and snares.
Through this world of toil and snares.
Be my fortress, Lord. Only you can.
Day that the Lord has made. Oh, happy day, oh, happy day.
Yes, sir.
Some people will be singing about this day for the rest of their lives. Oh, happy day. How many remember the day you were baptized? There are some children that will remember this day today, and I really am praying the Lord would make it a special day for them. I would like to read from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. I almost gave Brother Maxwell a fright, you know, because I was just sitting there while Brother George was singing, and he thought, maybe Brother Will is not doing Sunday school. Well, the word says, be instant in season and out of season, you know. It was going to be a test for you, Brother Max. But we thank God. From verse number 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. Again, if you turn a few pages to the book of Titus, Titus 1, from verse 14 to 16. Titus 1, 14 to 16. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for an opportunity once again that we could be in this place, Lord, where we can sit down and forget about everything and hear the word of God being spoken to us sing songs to praise your name and see you, Lord Father, in our midst to do things in our lives, Lord. We thank you for this. Bless this day, Lord. Bless the Sunday school as we look into these few verses. We pray, Lord, that you may bring them out, Lord, and that they may help us, Lord, to learn something that would help us in this walk. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you may take your seats, saints, and may God bless you again this morning. I just want to look again at Paul, the apostle, because we have such a great privilege in our lives that the messenger of our age, the prophet of the day, we've got a lot of material that we can go in and look. And one of the greatest things that I like about the way God has done things for this age is that we can look into scriptures and then we can look into the teachings of the message of the hour and see how consistent that the message is with the scriptures. But then we can go even a step further and see also the life of the prophet that God sent with this message and how in his dealings with people and solving issues, even in his own family or among believers in the church, all those recorded instances, how he did it consistently with the word of God. And that really speaks much, much more than what a person can stand here and preach, is how you live your life, you know. So it has been a burden in my heart to look also into the life of Paul, see if we can find some instances like that, because there's so much about what a person does with the issues that are around them. They reveal something, especially this verse we just read in the book of Titus 1, verse 16. Paul is speaking to Titus and saying, there are certain people who profess to be Christians. And that's the case of the Christian world today, is that we've got so many people that profess to be Christians. They say, I am a Christian, I believe in the Lord, but in their works, they deny God. They are exactly like the same people that stood in Pilate's hall and say, crucify him. In fact, I think that they are worse because they are crucifying Christ afresh, a second time. Can you imagine? You say that you are a Christian, but then when situations arise, you don't solve them the Christian way. You deny God because you default back to your customs now. Say, well, I'm a Christian, let's go to church, what, and things happen in the house, and then you go use the fivefold ministry on your wife. That's unbecoming of a Christian. Now, we can laugh about it and say it in such ways that maybe don't show the gravity of it, but that is denying Christ in your works. And it's a very heavy issue that people should learn to stay away from. Now, we read in the book of Timothy, where Paul was telling Timothy to teach these things. It says, let as many servants as under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. Now, it might not apply so much in our day, because in those days, you know, the people had slaves in their house, you know. It was a perfectly normal thing in society where a man with the means and he's got some money, he had servants in his house, you know, but they were varying degrees. Some of them were servants that are paid. Some of them were slaves that were bonded to the master, maybe because their father owed something, couldn't pay. They come and become slaves. And when the Jubilee trumpet goes, maybe they choose not to go and they are bonded to the men for life. So it was like that. The condition of the world was like that in Israel in these days, that people had servants and slaves in the house. And Paul then, he finds the church like that, and people begin to believe. Some of them were the masters that had slaves in their house. And he was teaching them how to treat their servants and the slaves. And some people believed that were also servants and slaves. And he was teaching them how to honor their masters, especially when their master was a believing master. So imagine Brother Nat standing there, and he's come to church, and his servants have come, you know, and maybe it's Brother Wilmore and all his family. We are bonded to Brother Nat, you know, and he has to teach us how to respect the brother and things like that. So these are not easy things to have to deal with in those days, because we are all equal in the eyes of God, you know. But Paul had to strike this balance, and then he had to speak to Timothy and say, teach these things. They are important, these things. Now, among the letters that Paul wrote to individuals, like this letter that he wrote to Timothy, he includes a lot of other things in there, doctrine, and even to Titus. He writes and tells them, you must teach this way and so forth. But there is one letter that Paul wrote, and it's the one that he wrote to Philemon. It's the shortest epistle that Paul wrote. And in this one, he wasn't teaching doctrine or telling the ministers how to teach people and how people to conduct themselves and so forth. Paul was dealing with an issue that was there in the church among brethren. And I would like to remember what Paul has told Titus and has told Timothy to teach, to say, you people that are servants, honor your masters, especially when they believe and so forth. Now let's see how Paul took that and put it into the word of God in solving a situation. And that's what we must do as believers. We should never be governed by emotion. We should never be governed by customs or you know, in the heat of the moment, and something has come up and it pushes you to react, and many times it's the wrong thing, the wrong way to react. But if we can take the word of God and say, well, wait a minute, how do I apply the word of God to this situation? That's what Paul did in the book of Philemon. And by that, he really showed what he believed is what he did. The way he lived his life is what he taught the people. And that's what we want. We never want to have a gap between what we believe as believers and what we do and how we conduct ourselves with one another. It should never be different. It should be exactly the same, because you are written epistles read of all men. Surely can your neighbors look at you and see, I've seen scripture, living scripture in my neighbor. Some of us, our neighbors are scared of us. Scared. They're like, what? That person? Even our own relatives. I mean, if we can't be scripture to our own relatives, to a point that our relatives are terrified of you, you should question yourself, you know, because there's a scripture in one of these three books that says that if you are not charitable to your own household, you are the worst kind of person. And you sit in here and you are not charitable to your family, you know. So in this book of Philemon, we have an issue here. I would urge you to go read it at home. But I'll read a few things. It's only 25 verses in the whole book of Philemon, because it's a letter that Paul is writing. And Paul writes this letter to a brother. And verse 1, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. And to our beloved Apphia, history said that was the wife of Philemon, and Archippus, history says that's their son, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. So the church of Colossia, the Colossians, they used to meet in Philemon's house. That's where the church was. And Philemon was a man of means. He had a big house. People used to come meet there at the house. But Philemon also had servants and slaves in his house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayer, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love. because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So he used his house well, and he was a hospitable person. The saints would come, he would make a feast for them, and they would eat, you know, like when you go to Brother George's house, you know. And that's a good thing. He used his wealth in the right way. But he had servants and he had also slaves in his house. Now from verse number 8, it begins to reveal something that happened. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was unto thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, that thou therefore receive him, that is my own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that is, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind I would do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. Amen. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So there was something that happened here, and benefit of history has told us that Onesimus was a servant. In fact, the scripture says that he was a servant to Philemon. He stayed in his house, but there was something happened, we will continue to read later on, but it seems that Onesimus was not a profitable servant to Philemon. He did something. They say he stole money and ran away from Philemon and went to Rome. Then when he gets to Rome, who does he meet there? He meets Paul, and he hears the preaching of the word, and then he believed the word. He became a brother. And in this process, Onesimus didn't want to keep things quiet. Maybe he was baptized on a day like this, or happy day to Philemon, to Onesimus. And then he comes to Philemon and he says, you know, I have something that I need to make right, and I don't know how to do it. I was a slave in my master's house, and I stole from his house, and I ran away here. But those were in the days of my ignorance. How do I deal with this? And Onesimus was profitable unto Paul. But when Paul heard this story, he says, who was your master? Philemon. Oh my, I know the man. He's a good man. We have had church in his house. The saints in Colossia, they meet in Philemon's house. Here's what we'll do. You are going back. That's the pastor today, huh? Telling some of our young people, you are going back to make it right, huh? But I want you to see, in the way that Paul solved this issue, even though Onesimus was profitable unto Paul in Rome, Paul was a prisoner there. And the man was profitable. In what way, I do not know. Maybe he used to run around and get some food for Paul or something. But Paul could not keep Onesimus with him, knowing that there's a brother somewhere who may be grieved by this brother. And remember, he wrote to Timothy and said, teach these things. Now he's not only teaching, he's putting it into practice. Paul is not being governed by emotions or convenience to say, well, look, the man that was in the days of his ignorance, let's keep him there. He says, no, you go back. I'm going to write you a letter. You bring it to Philemon and tell him that Paul wrote this letter. Amen. And he must have told Onesimus, you go there and be a good servant. And serve the Lord on top of that too, but serve your master. But certain other things that Paul included are quite very revealing. Because if we go a little bit further, verse 7, 18, it says, if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I believe that Paul 100% meant what he wrote there. He says, whatever this man stole from you, ask it from me, I'll give it to you. And I believe he really meant it, because he repeats the same thing again. I, Paul, have written it. He's swearing to say, I have written this word. Whatever this man stole from you, I will pay it. He says, I, Paul, have written it. With my own hand, I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to you how you owe me even thy own self besides. So in the life of Philemon, way before the church was being held in his house, Paul must have done something for this man. Until it came to a place where Philemon owed his life to Paul. Whatever it may be, he was sick and he laid hands on him. The man was recovered of his malady. We don't know. But what we know is he owed his life to Paul. And if we go back to the verse 8 that we read, Paul says to Philemon, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. What does that word enjoin mean? It means to command you. He's saying, even though I'm in a position, because of our relationship, you having come to the Lord through me, I'm in a position to command you to do this thing. I'm in a position to force you to accept Onesimus. He says, for the sake of love, I won't do that. What a man. You see how Paul really used scriptures to solve issues. And we must be, we were singing just a closer walk here. Yeah? We must be very close to this until there's no difference between you and scripture. Paul says, I could have enjoined you that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech you. Beseech. If I say, I beseech you, brother Sasha, I beg you. Paul, the aged, begging someone that he had brought to the Lord, say, please, brother, I beg you, take this brother back. Do you see what humbleness the man had? I mean, these days, you know, we've got wolves among the sheep, yeah? If you are some kind of, they call you men of God, you know, people use that to their fullest advantage. The man of God has come, you know. He doesn't carry his Bible into the church, you know. The young boys will be trained to run and see who can carry the man of God's bag to the office, you know. And that's not right, because Paul didn't do that. You know, I'm glad we don't have things like that around here. But they are sure there somewhere where people have used the office of a minister for lasciviousness. They just want to make gain, but not Paul. This wasn't even for the benefit of Paul. He could have said, this man owes me his life. I will command him to accept Onesimus. And it's not for my benefit, it's for the benefit of this brother, but not Paul. He says, I beseech you. Brother, it means I pray to you. Beseech, the word beseech. I pray to you, I beg you, please accept this brother. If he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that to my account and so forth. Albeit I do not say unto you how you owe me even thy own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence in thy obedience. Do you wish the pastor could stand and say, I have confidence in Brother Elson's obedience? That would be a pretty good testimony. But what about the Lord Jesus saying, I have confidence in this brother's obedience? Brother, that's what we want. And it begins here by using the word of God in every situation that can come through in your life. Because anything less than that, you are denying the Lord by your works. And you shouldn't be guilty of that. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that you will also do more than I say. It's written in between the lines. Paul knew what kind of a man Philemon was. And he knew, I've just asked him to accept this brother back. But I know Philemon. He's going to do more than this. He's going to take this brother, restore him, and he won't even make him a servant anymore. I mean, these were the Christians of the first church age. They had confidence in one another's obedience. And I think that is a good thing for you and me to desire to have such, that you can have confidence in Brother Wilmore, that you could call Brother Will at 2 a.m. and you know that he'll come despite the circumstances. Isn't that nice? Saints, whatever we do in our lives, let us not react emotionally. Let us not judge matters outside of the Word of God. When we take the Word of God, like Brother Cheslin says, take the Word of God, put it in the situation. That's God on the scene. That's really it, isn't it? May God bless you. I will hand back to Brother Maxwell for next week. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for these examples that we can read today and look and see what you did through the life of Paul. What an example of a person that he was, Lord, even in the dealing with of issues with the saints. Help us, Father, one another as we look at one another, Lord. Let it be through your word, Lord. Father, whatever situations may rise at work, at home, on the road, Lord, and other drivers cut in front of us and so forth, Father, please help us, Lord, that we may not be quick to jump to our customs and fables, Lord, that turn us away from righteousness, but, Lord, that we may look at things through your word, Lord, that we may be like you, Father. For that's our desire here, Lord, not to be Christians in word, but that, Father, even indeed we may be full Christians, Lord. We want to commit the service into your hands this morning. Lord, bless us, Father, through the singing of the songs, the children that are going to sing an item. Lord, we commit them to you. Our sister giving a testimony, Father, we just want to thank you for whatever you have done for our sister, Lord. Please, Lord, bless us, Father, in the preaching of the word. This morning, we want to commit our brother Cheslin to you, that once more, just once more, Lord, before our brother goes, Lord, may you use him again this morning to stay up, Lord, Father, the people, and that, Father, your presence may be manifested, Lord. We commit it into your hands. Bless our musicians. Use them, Lord, to lead us into worship this morning. Even as we commit the whole day to you, we ask it for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.